did it go? Usually it depends on who you ask. I'm Paul James, along with my colleague Al Jones. And we're joined by longtime 1010 Winds political analyst Robert Zimmerman, Democratic National Committeeman from New York and co-president of CE Creative Communications, and George Marlin, former head of the Port Authority and author of a number of books. We're also joined by ABC News political analyst Alex Castellanos. Alex, let's begin with you. Let's get your take on how things went for each of the candidates.
Yes, well, I think tonight was, if anything changed at all tonight, it was not something that helped Donald Trump. I think I may have been watching the wrong debate. I tuned into the children's debate. Both candidates were talking over each other, and it was frankly something that America, I don't think, wanted to watch. I will say that Biden passed the mental ability test. He did not look like a man who was incapable of being president of the United States. He got into the back and forth with Donald Trump, gave as good as he got, and so low expectations, but he exceeded them. And I think tonight was a good night for Joe Biden. It was not a good night for an out-of-control Donald Trump that was not the kind of candidate that a lot of swing voters would want to support.
Well, our mind's going to be changed because many polls indicate that most people are in one camp or the other. Of course, even if it's a small percentage of undecided voters or independents, a small percentage may well be very significant. But what do you think on that question?
I think there are very few swing voters left, but Trump needs them all. You know, he could win the Electoral College and still lose by 5 million votes. He lost by 2 million last time. But that's drawing to an inside straight. That's very hard. Trump has no margin for error. He needed to get a little momentum with suburban women tonight. He's been losing some Democratic working-class blue-collar men. That Obama, and then Trump voter is concerned about racial turmoil in the country, and they wanted to see a president who could maybe bring some calm. They didn't see that in Donald Trump tonight.
What about the tone, and does it really matter? It was contentious. You mentioned people were talking over each other and interrupting. Does that matter, or is that not all that significant?
Actually, Frank Luntz and other pollsters have done a lot of research on this, and when you do a dial group and you run a debate like this in front of voters, they uniformly reject the candidate that interrupts and talks over others. It is disorderly. It is chaotic. It is immature, and you don't want an immature candidate or president. So, yes, believe it or not, style has a substance. Look, If all we wanted to know the candidates' positions, we'd have them send in position papers. Why do we put them on a debate stage to go at each other? Because we want to see if they'll conduct themselves as grown-ups, as mature people, as leaders, as responsible stewards of our authority. And I think voters saw two kids tonight calling each other names, but I think Biden was maybe about 2 or 3 years older than Trump.
What do you think in terms of President Trump's strongest moments tonight?
I think when the president talked about law and order, when he calmed down and talked about if we'd had better forest management, California wouldn't be on fire every year. When he talked about getting rid of this racial sensitivity training that is embarrassing people and forcing injecting politics into the workplace. The president had some good moments, but they paled in significance to the moments that we'll remember and the moments that the media will replay all week. The media will replay the fist fight, not the substance.
Same question.
And the fist fight's not going to help.
Same question regarding Joe Biden.
Oh, Joe Biden's moments. I think when Biden said he can't do that. He can't stay quiet. I think when he gave as good as he got to Donald Trump, he demonstrated the strength to be president. If you can get in the ring with the heavyweight champ, you must be the heavyweight contender. And Biden did that tonight. He didn't look mentally feeble. Yes, he stuttered over a few words, but he looked capable, knowledgeable. And I think over the next week, the critical post-debate coverage, what's the media going to do? It's going to replay Biden's greatest hits, and it's going to replay Donald Trump's conflicts. That's not going to help Trump. It will help Biden.
ABC News political analyst Alex Castellanos, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to go now to our Al Jones, along with Robert Zimmerman and George Marlin. Al, you there?
I'm here, Paul, and you know who had the hardest job tonight? That would be Chris Wallace. Man, he had his hands full trying to keep them apart, and I just wonder how the rest of these debates are going to go, because I thought he'd be able to control it a bit, but at times it got out of control with all three going at the same time.
Folks, do you
have any idea what this clown's doing?
They call it socialized medicine.
Mr. President.
I'll tell you what.
It's not easy being the moderator when you have two candidates going at it like they did. I'm not sure that anybody... Do you think anybody's minds were swayed on this? I think we pretty much heard from both of them their positions in and amongst all the, you know, the arguing and the talking over. But we got everything pretty much straight. I don't see where this debate, you know, moved a lot of needles as far as, you know, people on one side of the fence or other. What do you think, Paul? How about George? George, why don't you give me your thoughts? Did President Trump come out and maybe get a few of those you know, the swing people, or was it kind of a, you know, draw?
Well, let me put it from this perspective. I was a debater in high school and college. I thought it was pretty good, won a lot of awards. And for 45 years, I've judged debates of championship debaters in high school and college. So I take a different perspective. I sort of score points. And Trump fell far behind in my judgment. I'm a conservative, okay? And I've written several histories, political histories of New York, and focused on conservative and liberals and battles, Mario Cuomo versus Kosh, et cetera, when you saw debates. But Trump was not prepared. He did not articulate his accomplishments the way he could have. He missed opportunities to zero in on some of the misstatements that Biden made. Take the Supreme Court discussion at the beginning. Trump failed to state his constitutional powers. Constitution says there's a vacancy. I can nominate someone. He did not point out that Biden, in 2016, in election year, wanted Merrick Garland, Obama's choice, to fill Scalia going. And this year, he's against it in election period. So he failed to pick up on all these pieces. He didn't articulate that his accomplishment of appointing over 200 judges to the bench, from my vantage point as a conservative, was a great accomplishment. So he sort of failed in all these areas because he's not prepared to articulate his views half the time, and he falls back on name-calling. Now, there's name-calling on both sides. Biden called Trump a fool, a clown, a liar. But the point is, Joe Biden was expected to not really perform tonight. Trump portrayed him as a dope, as brain dead, and Biden did a very good job, and Trump failed to articulate many of the things he did in this thing. So in my judgment, Biden will be judged by the media and the pundits to be the winner of the night.
Robert Zimmerman.
You know, presidential debates are not so much about scoring points, as George made reference to, which is important when you're analyzing debates from a scientific or scientific way. But presidential debates are about perceptions. I remember Al Gore saying to me with great frustration, "I can't possibly live up to the expectation." And George W. Bush laughing and saying, "If I don't fall off the stage, I'm a winner." And in fact, the Trump campaign made the classic mistake that, in fact, the Democrats made in 1980, when the Democrats mocked Ronald Reagan and it dismissed him as an incompetent right-wing actor. And of course, when we went on the debate stage, it shows something very different. So in this case, in terms of perceptions, Joe Biden showed that he certainly could stand on that stage, make his case, and stand up to Donald Trump and make his argument. And Donald Trump, which is particularly dangerous for an incumbent president, with his rants, his red face, his constant interrupting, those are the tactics of someone who's defensive. And those are the tactics of someone who's out of control. And I think he did not show Donald Trump had to show he was presidential. He had to show was able to reach senior citizens on the healthcare issues. He had to show he was able to persuade voters. He didn't change anything. And when you're 9 points, 10 points down, and you can't change opinions, then you've lost the debate. So I think it was for Donald Trump, a bad night without question. And I think for Joe Biden, it was a good night because he beat expectations and showed he could handle himself on the stage.
George, would you agree with that general characterization?
Well, I think in many ways we're on the same wavelength here. However, let me point out, Chris Wallace, for instance, did not press Biden on the stuffing of the courts. Biden just said, I just don't want to answer it.
No.
He evaded. He didn't press Biden on the ending the filibuster. You know, he didn't give a straight answer. And then there was Joe Biden saying, I am the Democratic Party platform. There is no manifesto. Well, there is a manifesto. And he signed it. And he signed on to the Green New Deal of AOC from Queens, etc. So there were a lot of missed opportunities by Trump to bring that home. Wallace didn't press him. So he got a free ride on some stuff. But overall, Biden was the winner of the night. There is no doubt in my mind about it.
And George, I have to say to you, Chris Wallace didn't press Donald Trump on the $400 million that he owes and has to be paid off during the next several years while he might be in office. Who does he owe the money to? He didn't raise that. He certainly didn't press Donald Trump on the lies about COVID and coronavirus that he admitted to Bob Woodward in his book. So, in fact, there were aspects there that you can also point out. I think Chris Wallace did the best he could in an impossible situation.
Al Jones?
You know, I thought President Trump actually started off pretty strong. I mean, his first when the first questions were on the Supreme Court and he was asked about being able to choose so close to the election. I mean, it was straight. We won and elections have consequences.
We have a higher deficit with China now than we did before. We have the highest trade deficit
China
with Mexico.
Your lunch, that all right, 8%. China ate your lunch, Joe.
But then it devolved into basically talking over each other. And there's another point where I thought maybe the president could have done more with the economy. Talking a little bit more about gains that he made in the first 2.5-3 years. It just seemed to get into this back and forth. I have to one-up somebody. And I think I agree that he seemed to be a lot of missed opportunities for him to, you know, state something, get it out there. I think he did great with the Supreme Court choice. I think he essentially said, hey, we won, we get to choose, which is true. So that was a direct answer that had to ring true with people. It's that when he got into some of these arguments with Joe Biden and they just went back and forth talking over each other, I'm not sure anybody wins in those kind of deals.
I think it's important to remember what the overarching issues are in this campaign, and that is the coronavirus pandemic, the tragic loss of over 208,000 lives, the fact that we're not out of this yet, and of course, the impact it had on the economy. All the rest is, while it's important to many of us, it's really sideshows versus the issue of public health and safety and rebuilding our economy. And in fact, I think Donald Trump's failure to address that comprehensively, not acknowledging the way he couldn't even present a plan for how to protect people with pre-existing conditions or an alternative to the Affordable Care Act, those are issues that are resonating. It's what Democrats won on in 2018, and Trump is still as vulnerable now in 2020.
Well, there's another issue that wasn't hit on very hard, and that's the violence in the streets from the protesters. Joe Biden turns around and says to Trump, violence has gone up under your administration. Well, wait a minute. The answer should have been from Trump. Wait a minute. These are radical left wingers in the streets that are destroying cities, destroying businesses, you know, hitting people over the head in the streets, violence all over the place in cities where these protests are going on. He failed to throw that back on the Democratic Party where it belongs. These are Biden supporters out in the streets committing these acts, these Black Lives Matter radicals. These are Democratic supporters. So,
George,
again, a missed opportunity by Trump to bring that home.
Let's be very clear. They are not Democrats.
They are supporting your party.
Don't you think Donald Trump should have denounced right wing violence as well from the Proud Boys and the right wing extremist groups?
Well, I tell you what,
Let me finish my point, George. Don't talk over me. Yeah. We learned from tonight.
Don't you think also
that Donald Trump should denounce QAnon, a group that's been defined by the FBI as a potential domestic terrorist threat? When it comes to right wing violence, Donald Trump does not denounce it.
Well, let's be frank. In the last couple of months, I haven't seen so much so-called right-wing violence. I'm a man of the right, okay? And I prefer to define what they are, not some of these radical groups, which are really not right-wing. They're nuts. But the Black Lives Matter people who have turned to violence, they're members of your party. They're supporters of your party. So don't give me baloney like we're responsible for the violence. Of course, we're not. They don't hear what they want to hear from the courts or from an attorney general. They turn to the streets. That's called mob rule. And are we going to see that in November? I hope not. If this election isn't decided on November 3rd.
There's a big difference between looters and mobsters that you're referring to and people who stand up for criminal justice reform. And that's what Black Lives Matter is all about. They've had an
Black Lives Matter members have been on the streets burning and destroying businesses. Okay.
George,
people's rights have gone property owners' rights have gone down the rat hole in recent.
Don't diminish thugs and people who perpetrate violence and people fighting for justice reform.
There are left wing thugs out on.
So are you prepared to denounce? So shouldn't Donald Trump denounce QAnon? Shouldn't he denounce right wing extremists?
He should denounce all violent people, regardless of their political stripes.
Biden has done that. Donald Trump hasn't.
All right, what about
Joe Biden? No. He threw the violence in Trump. Like Trump's fault. There's been more violence under your term of office than under our term of office, Obama or Biden. But who started most of this violence in recent months? Okay, they're left wingers, not right wingers.
Let's talk about briefly the crime we've been talking about with respect to New York City and the economic problems that New York City is having and other municipalities with respect to police funding and that kind of thing. George?
You want me to go first? Well,
sure.
First of all, I'm the son and grandson of New York City cops. And my 93-year-old father is in a nursing home. Called me to say, do you see what's going on in the streets here? Do you see what's happening in terms of crime in the city of New York? This is exactly what happened during the Lindsay years when my father was a cop, when suddenly the cops are the bad guys in general. More important, society is responsible for crime. That's the theoretical background. And therefore, many, many, many criminals are victims of society. So they're getting a pass by DAs, et cetera, in the city of New York. That governing philosophy back in the 70s under Lindsay brought the city to its knees from a criminal point of view. We saw rampant crime through the 90s until Rudy Giuliani was elected mayor of the city of New York.
All right, we're running short on time here, and I'd like to ask each of you to just wrap up your general observations, your thoughts about how it went overall tonight. We'll start with Robert Zimmerman.
Well, first, let me just say crime is not a partisan issue. There's crime and violence increased in Republican cities and Democratic cities. But let me also point out, no question. Let me also point out, though, in terms of evaluating this debate and this evening, one, as an analyst, I have to say that obviously I think, as George and I agree, it was a good night for Joe Biden, a bad night for Donald Trump. But I have to say, more importantly, I'm hoping that Americans watching this debate and this spectacle don't get discouraged and remember to vote by absentee ballot, show up in person, because I really do worry about the impact on our democracy when Donald Trump continues to diminish the process of voting and says it's a fraud, or when, for that matter, he doesn't even support the peaceful transition of power. Every Republican should call him out on that, because Trump's failure to support a peaceful transition of power is a betrayal of every American principle.
George Marlin, final thoughts. I've got 30 seconds.
Well, first of all, I don't know of any Republican-controlled city. So, but to move on, I agree. Biden had a very good night tonight. I agree with Robert Zimmerman as well, that we are hoping that people don't get discouraged. I'm hoping people ignore comments like the comment from Hillary Clinton, who said Joe Biden should concede no matter what. I hope it's a straight election, and regardless of who the winner is, that we have a peaceful transition and peaceful ending in this campaign, and people don't go out to the streets on November 4th.
I would like to thank our special guests, Robert Zimmerman, Democratic National Committeeman from New York and co-president of ZE Creative Communications, and George Marlin, former head of the Port Authority and author of numerous books. Also would like to thank ABC News political analyst Alex Castellanos. Al Jones as well, my colleague, and our producer, Matt Blezo, executive producer, Ivan Lee. I'm Paul James.